So we are thankful we can be together. Everybody survived the deluge of yesterday. Most everybody survived unharmed, but some had a wetter day yesterday than others. We're thankful we can be together this morning, and let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful, even as we look back on those words that we opened with today about come unto me. Lord, that is an eternal cry, and not only eternal, but it's a daily cry. And we're thankful as we have come to you at your table, Lord, you don't even stop there. You say, come unto me, come unto my word. Come, listen to me, hear what I have to say to you. And we want to be those that are responding to you this morning. We're thankful that you're a living God, and you're a God that speaks in a time where there are so many voices trying to counter your word. We're thankful that you do have a living word that you are speaking to your people in this day and time. And we want to be those that are really attuned to what you have to say to us, that we can pick up and know, Lord, the greatness of your wonderful word, your power, your resurrection life. We offer ourselves unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, as we all are very much aware, these days are days of great shaking, and many have touched on that in the days that we're living in, and we know that behind it all, the Lord is doing a shaking, because he's doing a great work of preparing a people for his soon return. We're thankful that in that shaking, it's been mentioned before, that really it's a three-pronged shaking. He's in the process of shaking ones to repentance, the ones that don't know him, the hopeless ones in this world, that they would hear that come unto me and be saved. The shaking is a glorious time for the spirit of the gospel to be released. There's a shaking that's going on that's trying to wake the people of God up, that we could be the testimony he's called us to be, that testimony that has really gotten a little weakened in this day could be strengthened. And also in regard with that, the shaking is going on, it's doing a great purifying work to separate the things that are of him, the things that are not of him, that which is of him will remain. And we're thankful that we can be part of that. And at times we see how in the midst of the shaking, we're not quite clear what all is going on. And it really brings me to the thought that I have for today. And really, the thought I have for today, Noah asked me what is the title. It's having an ear to hear. That's what we need in this hour. And a little background on where this came from. Lee, if you could put the first PowerPoint up. Stella and I were doing our morning devotions a while back. And each morning, part of our devotions, we read a chapter in the Proverbs. So you can see that this was probably the 25th of July that we were reading this proverb. Out of the New American Standard, it reads, like an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold, is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Then out of the New King James, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. And what caught my attention there was most of this verse is exactly the same. But when it comes to the very end there, one says a listening ear and one says an obedient ear. And the meaning, they sound so different. And I was wondering, what is all this about? So I went back and I looked at the Greek word, and because I was interested in this particular days we're living in, there's so many voices out there, and this thought of having an ear to hear, and there's so much confusion in this day. I thought I'd look at this matter of the ear, because we really need to hear the Lord in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the days we're living in, and oftentimes we pray, Lord, I want to hear you, Lord. I want to hear you, Lord. But do we really know what we want to pray? So I looked up this Hebrew word. It's Shema. It's a multifaceted meaning. It obviously, it means obviously physical hearing, the physical hearing of your ear. But Lee, if you could go to the next slide. It's also a dual meaning. In the many facets of this word Shema, also means, it's the meaning of understanding and obeying. Understanding and obeying. It's not just a physical hearing, but this word conveys that when you hear the Lord, there's an understanding of what he's really saying, and there's a response. Sometimes we want to hear, but there's also in the spirit of what God is after, He's wanting us to obey His word. A couple of examples of this related to the hearing. Next slide. When King Solomon became king, he was a young man, and his prayer was, "Give your servant an understanding heart." And really, this is that word, Shema. Give your servant a hearing heart. It's the exact same word. And we really need to see how this king, he realized that he was young. He didn't know how to go out and come in. He needed wisdom, and he prayed to the Lord. And we know how much the Lord was blessed by Solomon's prayer, by just that desire to really be able to have that heart to hear the Lord and to obey Him, not a self-centered prayer, seeking the riches of the world and power and fame and all that, but he had that heart that had a desire for the Lord. You know, if we think of the other facet of this meaning, obeying, we can go to the next slide. And in Genesis 22, this is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And after Abraham went up and he offered Isaac to the Lord, and the Lord was blessing Abraham for his willing sacrifice, in 22:18 he says, "And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Exact same word that he obeyed. He had that ear. He heard what God called him to do. He responded and he obeyed. So we're seeing the fullness of this. Maybe it might adjust our prayers a little bit. You know, if we're praying, "Lord, I want to hear you. Are you ready to really respond, receive what he says and obey him?" But praise God, when he does speak to us, we know that there is the grace to obey. He's not calling us to respond and obey in ourselves, but it's by the grace of God that we can respond to what he calls us to do in that hour. It's really, as you see a fuller understanding of this word Shema, you start to see and understand a little bit in many prophets. It says, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You have ears to hear, but you're not understanding. You're not obeying. Physically, you have those ears, but spiritually, you're not responding. Maybe you're physically hearing, but you're not really understanding what God is saying and seeing the fullness of all that He wants us to do. In this, as I was thinking about it, I grew up, I had a good number of Jewish friends, and just through being around them, I remember, and I've also heard how there's a certain part of the Scripture that is, they repeat it a couple of times a day. The good ones do. Most of my friends didn't, but they were supposed to, and they learned it in school. And if you've ever been around any Jewish friends, been to a ceremony and all, you might have even heard this said in Hebrews. It's the word and the phrase in Hebrew, it's actually called the Shema, the hearing. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay, we see, this is a familiar passage. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." And this is when it was asked for the greatest commandment. The Lord responded with this, and that's what He shared about. So we see how this, maybe you've heard it. It goes something like, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. That's a southern way of pronouncing it. But anyway, we see how this is it's a memorial phrase throughout the Hebrew language. But it shows the significance of it, because what God was really after, even in the Old Testament with the ones He was giving the law to, He wasn't wanting them to just look upon the law as an outward thing. But it was post, as you see in these verses, a couple of times it mentions your heart. He wanted that word, that law, to penetrate, be in their heart. Okay, you can turn it off for now. We see how this is what the Lord is after, even in the Old Testament, that heart, a hearing heart and obeying Him, that comes out of that relationship with Him. This is what He's really after in this day. And we see how that hearing ear is so essential. We know in New Testament, we're often referred to, and we desire to be bondslaves of the Lord. Paul, Peter, different ones said we're bondslaves of the Lord. What was this? What was the symbol of a bondslave? Remember, after they had served within the house of their master, they had fulfilled every obligation. Then the master comes in, he sets them free. He says, you're totally free to go. And not in addition to you, you're free to go, but here, I'm blessing you with food. I'm blessing you with a full provision. He blessed them abundantly that they could go out and live life on their own. But this one servant said, no, I love my master and his house so much, I want to stay here. I want to live here for all my life. And what did they do? They took that ear. They pierced it with the nail on the doorpost of that house. And why did they pierce the ear? Because that's the most important organ for a servant, is to be able to hear, understand, and obey what the master is saying. That's the precious heart of a bondservant. That's what the Lord is calling us in this hour, in this day and time. And realize that in the day and times we're living in, it's becoming more and more difficult because the very environment that we're living in, there's so many voices out there saying this way, that way. But even, you know, in the world, we have so many voices presenting this and presenting that. Even though, you know, it amazes me how you can take one set of expert doctors and they'll interview and they say one thing. And then you have another set of expert doctors and they say something totally different. And they're expecting us, who are naive in medicine, to discern between the difference on what these doctors are saying. But it's interesting how it goes back, last time I mentioned, out of Philippians chapter 1, there's that discerning love. And it's really having that ear to hear and being able to discern what's of the Lord and what's not. And that's how we really need it in this hour, because not only in the world, but even within Christendom, there are so many voices out there. When the Lord was aware that there were going to be so many voices, that He warned us Himself when He was upon the earth. He said, many will come in My name. They'll say, the Christ is here, the Christ is there. Don't follow them. How do we know which one is the Christ? Unless we have that relationship with Him, unless we have that ear attuned, that ear trained to really know His voice. And we're thankful that today is a day of training. Today is a day of opportunity where we're learning of Him, we're being trained by Him to really be able to know His voice. We're thankful that as we have opportunity and a freedom to be in His Word. We see how quickly freedoms can be taken away from us. If you'd have thought something 7 or 8 months ago, various freedoms have been taken away. But we see how, if right now, let's take advantage of opportunities we have to get in His Word, have that prayer relationship with Him, be in fellowship with Him and one another. Because the constraints upon believers in the future are only going to become more. And it really is not going to matter who becomes president. That might have a delay or a time. But the spirit of evil and the spirit of this end time is out there. There's a great battle against the testimony of Jesus and all that's upon us. And we need to take advantage of the days that we're living in to really be able to stand when more and more of this evil comes upon us. And it's interesting in this Christian life, it's really a progressive life, because the more we know of Him, the more we come to love Him, the more we desire Him, and then we come to know Him a little more. And the little more we know of Him, we have a greater desire, and it keeps going in that progressive cycle over and over again. When we think of having a hearing ear, I think many of us are probably drawn back to the book of Revelation. So let's turn over to Revelation 2 and 3. Revelation 2 and 3. We know that in Revelation 2 and 3, seven times there's a particular phrase that's used. It says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times in those seven letters, to each of the letters, that phrase is, to each of the letters to the church, that phrase is used. And that phrase is calling out. The call goes out to everyone, but the response is individual. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And it always touches me how this phrase particularly being used so many times by the Lord in that last letter, to me adds an urgency to it. And the fact that it's used seven times, if you're into numerology, seven's that perfect number upon this earth. It's like this is the perfect phrase for preparing us for these end times, preparing us for the Lord's soon return. And that we would have that ear to hear. That call goes out to everybody, but that response has to come from each one of our hearts. And so really what I was going to do today, I was going to give everybody a hearing test. Because, physically, we're all in denial about hearing loss. You know, whoever got a hearing aid before they needed it? You know, after everybody, you finally can't ever hear something, and your family's pestered you enough, and you're fussing at everybody for mumbling and all this, and finally, you finally break down and get a hearing aid because there's hearing deficiencies. Well, spiritually, too, we can have hearing deficiencies. Based upon some of our experiences, the environments we've been in, we can have hearing deficiencies. And obviously the greatest hearing deficiency we have, the reason we don't hear the Lord, is sin. And I'm really not going to focus on that today. But that's the most blatant thing, that because of sin we have trouble hearing the Lord. Now when I say sin, I'm speaking far more than just the blatant moral offenses. Talking also about, you know, covetousness, prejudice, unforgiveness, partiality, unrighteousness, anything that goes against God. You know, that's the sin that can really hinder us from clearly hearing who He is and what He's calling us to. But praise God that while we were yet sinners, He reached us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. So there is that provision for sin, but that's really not going to be our focus today. But the Lord speaks something very specific to each church. And then to each church, He says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Okay. Now, if you look, remember the church of Ephesus. Now, we're doing a broad view because we can't do seven churches here in whatever time I have left. But when you think of Ephesus, you know, the Lord rebuked Ephesus for leaving their first love. But what was their hearing problem? The hearing problem in Ephesus was they were too busy doing the right and traditional things. And they thought that by doing all of the right and traditional things, that they weren't having any problem. They were busy doing good things, going through many religious activities, having all their services, all the meetings, all this and that. They were doing the right things, but they'd left their first love. They were unconscious of that. And one of my favorite stories I always love was a story of when a grandfather gave a watch to his grandson. Now, I never had the privilege of knowing either one of my grandfathers. They both passed away before I was born. But we know enough from other relationships that when a grandfather gives somebody something, that's very special. And this, when the grandfather gave this watch to this young boy, he was so proud of it. He cleaned it every day. He was keeping it in a special place, and he would show it off to his friends. He was so proud of that. And one day, his mother said, "Hey, Granddad's coming over today." And so the son, he went to look for the watch, and it wasn't where it was supposed to be. He couldn't find the watch in his room. And he went, it had a couple of hours before Granddad was going to be there. He went all throughout that room looking. Did all the right, looked up here, looked there, did it systematically, and he couldn't find the watch. And he was scurrying around more and more, and then his grandfather got there, and he walked out, and as soon as the grandfather saw him, because grandpas know this stuff, he looked at him, and he could tell by his face. He says, "What's wrong, son?" And he said, "Grandpa lost the watch, can't find it." And of course the grandfather says, "That's okay." I mean, he said, "I'll find it for you." He said, no, I've been looking, I can't find it." He said, "That's okay." So he goes, the grandfather says, "Where was it?" "It's in my room." So the grandfather goes in the room, and the grandson says, can I come help you?" No, I got it." So grandpa goes in there. About 2 minutes later, grandpa comes walking back out, got the watch. And the grandson's amazed. "How did you find that watch so quick?" He said, "What did you do? What's the secret? How did..." He said, "I went and I sat in the middle of the room And I got quiet and I listened. And I heard the tick, tick, tick. You know, for us, the application in the busyness of our service, our busyness of doing all the right things, are we missing hearing the tick, tick, tick of the Lord's heart? Not losing our first love. That place of abiding, that place of resting. Come unto me, all you weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That place of resting and abiding. It's lost today in the hustle and bustle, even of our doing the right things, the good things. We can miss His voice. May we not have that hearing deficiency. When we move on to the letter of Smyrna, church in Smyrna is called the suffering church. And sometimes when we're suffering, and it can be various types of suffering, physical, mental, emotional, financial, I mean, employment-wise, there can be all kinds of sufferings, and they're genuine sufferings. I'm not making light of the sufferings, but because of all of the sufferings that we go through in life, sometimes we can become more and more self-centered. Even ones that in the past had a care and were looking out for everybody else, when you're going through something, your world has a way of shrinking. And you're only occupied with yourself. What am I going through? I'm so thankful for ones like an Amy Carmichael, who in the midst of the suffering was able to convey life, encouragement to many of us. But when I think of the scripture, what encourages me is the life of Joseph. Joseph had a suffering life. He was betrayed by his brothers. The jealousy of his brothers, he was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, ended up being thrown in prison. It says his feet were in fetters, his soul was in irons. He was suffering. But in the midst of that suffering, he was supposed to be caring for two individuals, the cupbearer and the baker. And one morning, Joseph noticed that their countenance was different. And we're not going to go into the story, because the point is that in the midst of Joseph's suffering, and he was suffering for something he hadn't done. He was suffering for righteousness' sake. Most of our suffering is self-inflicted a lot of times. But he was suffering for righteousness' sake, suffering for loving his father, suffering for being faithful to Potiphar, and all the false accusations. But in the midst of his suffering, he noticed the countenance of those other two, and he saw that they had a problem, and he reached out to them and cared for them. Brothers and sisters, as we're going through these days of crisis, many are going through, we all suffer in different ways. Many are going through various crises. We have brothers that are unemployed. We have various health situations. But may, in whatever we're going through, may we still have a hearing ear to see how can we help ones in the midst of suffering. Joseph had a hearing ear for the Lord to be able to interpret the dreams of those two. He heard because he wasn't so occupied with himself. In the midst of the suffering, may we still have that heart and that hearing ear to be caring for ones amongst us. You move on to the church of Pergamum. And Pergamum can be described as a confused, compromised church. They had confused hearing because they were so compromised with the world. And they were distracted by the cares of life. And there were so many things that were distracting them. There was utter confusion. And because of that, they even had ones that were called the Nicolaitans amongst them. And one of the things about the Nicolaitans, it divides the brothers and sisters into two categories. You have one category who can hear what the Lord says, and then you have another category that can't hear what the Lord says. And these ones who hear, they love the power. They can say, oh, we can hear the Lord. And others say, well, we can't hear the Lord. And so we see how in the midst of this, there were ones that were pulling back and not hearing, and others were moving forward, and maybe they weren't hearing right. But there was a compromise with the world there, so many of the cares of life. And it's really, as we said, there's so many voices out there, it can be really distracting to hear the Lord's voice. Stella and I, many years ago, we were in California, and we're visiting San Francisco, and there's a sister there who studied ornithology. That's the study of birds. She got her PhD in ornithology. She's living in France now, studying birds. But anyway, she took us through. We were downtown San Francisco, and we're walking through it, and I mean, it's like any downtown. There's the hustle and bustle, the noise, and everything. And you could look up and you could see the sights. You can't do that anymore. If you walk through San Francisco now, you can't walk up, look up. You have to look down. I mean, there's people laying all over the sidewalk. There's trash and dirt. You can't. It's ruined the city. But anyway, we were looking up, and all of a sudden, she said, "Did you hear that bird?" It's like, you got to be kidding me. No, can't hear the bird. She said, "Yeah, just listen over that way," and I tried listening. We talk about focusing our eyes. We can focus our hearing too. Focus your hearing. So we were focusing our hearing over this way. No, she said, "Well, it sounds kind of like this," and she made some chirping sound, chirp, 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 whatever. And all of a sudden, we could start to faintly hear. And the more we recognized that sound and focused upon it, we could hear it more and more. None of the circumstances had changed. There was still just as much hustle and bustle, but we were able to hear that sound. She was able to hear it because her ears were trained to hear the sound of the birds. And what the application I'm trying to bring about today for us is, in the hustle and bustle and so many sounds and noises around us, are our ears trained to hear the Lord and to recognize His still small voice in the midst of all the chaos of life? You know, praise God. This is an opportunity for training and for getting our ears attuned in a right way, that we can really be able to hear what He says. We move on next to the Church of Thyatira. Now, this is a church that was, they were listening to the wrong voice. Could we do the next slide? They were, after compromise comes false teaching. They had Jezebels, they were listening to the wrong voice, and it relates a lot to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And this is for us in the days we're living in. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." You know, praise God, there is a sound doctrine that the Lord is trying to present. But we see among Christians today, they're not enduring sound doctrine. They're looking for some other teaching. Brothers and sisters, at times, sound doctrine can be difficult for the flesh. I guess all the time, probably. I guess I should say all the time, sound doctrine is difficult for the flesh. But we see how, in the midst of that, many are turning away. And do we want to just have our ears tickled? Because the world has and all out there, it can have a beautiful song that can sing to us. It can promise us everything. And it can, you know, we're doing it because we're looking after our own desires. We're thinking our desires instead of His desires. But we will, we're just desiring that in a wonderful way, the Lord would speak to us in a fresh way. And I was, when I read this, I grew up when we actually had a full education, and we actually had to study Greek mythology. I don't even know if they study that in education anymore, but you had Ulysses and the Argonauts and various things that you were having to study. And in Greek mythology, in the Mediterranean, there was this, on a set of islands, there was this group of sisters. They were called the Cyrene sisters. And they had a beautiful voice. I mean, it was a beautiful, and the ships would sail by, and the voice was so beautiful, so seductive, so enticing, that the sailors would turn their ships, and they would sail toward these islands. And right outside the island, though, there was some barrier reefs, and the ships would wreck. Everybody would die, and the sisters would get all of the loot and the plunder from those ships. It was actually, even though it was a beautiful song, it was a song of death. But there was one named Orpheus, and Orpheus was a great musician. And so when he was going to sail by there, as soon as they got close to the island, Orpheus got his lyre out and started playing and singing. And he sang a song more beautiful than they could sing, than the Cyrene sisters sang. He sang a beautiful song, and his ship sailed right on by because he sang a song of life. And brothers and sisters, in the day we're living in, there's a song of death that's being sung to us. It's a beautiful sounding song out there. It's a beautiful sounding song. Don't anybody think it's not. It's very enticing, very seductive towards us. It's trying to entrap us. But praise God, at Calvary, our Lord has sung to us a more beautiful love song that has overcome that one. When we read these seven, the letters to these seven churches, let's remember, these were written to believers. We're not talking to people in the world here. We're talking to believers. These were ones that were with the Lord at the end of the first century. So he's applying this within the church to believers. And may we just hear that beautiful love song that he sings to us. That's why I love how every Sunday we get to celebrate the Lord's table. That's a beautiful love song as we celebrate it. As we move on, you come to the church of Sardis, and they're not hearing because they're asleep. They're kind of unaware of all the danger around them, and really, I think if you just look at the world today, and that's one of the ways we've been praying, is that sadly, much of the church is asleep. And in spite of all the natural disasters we've had, in spite of all of the turmoil, the pandemic, the riots and everything, many are still asleep. And that's why we're praying that there would be an awakening in this hour to really be able to be faithful with what you have. Be faithful with what remains. And he's the one that remains, and we can be faithful and hold on to that. The Lord's trying to wake us up. And would we be those responding? When we come to Philadelphia, we see how Philadelphia is that wonderful example church there, and there's really no rebuke within Philadelphia. The two churches that didn't get a rebuke were Smyrna and their suffering in Philadelphia. They're known as the Church of Brotherly Love. And at times, though, even with the Philadelphia, maybe you're not hearing because you're tired of enduring. Philadelphia is very faithful. They endured much. They were very faithful. In Revelation 3:11, it says, hold fast to what you have, that no one take your crown. That we could be, there was in the midst of all of the enduring and suffering, we would not grow weary of doing good. There was enduring things is a wearing out tactic. But may he come in and revive us in the midst of it, that we could continue to be faithful and have an ear to hear what he's saying. Finally, we come to Laodicea, and we see how Laodicea thinks they know it all, but they they don't have any need to hear of anything. And there's a great danger among many believers today of how once we think we know it all, once think that they have it all together, we've heard this, we've heard that, and we've been, especially when you have such a privilege of so much good teaching. And we hear this age referred to much in Christianity today of the age of Laodicea, thinking we have no need of nothing and we're so rich, but actually we're poor. And it reminded me of how God was wanting to speak to them, but they thought they heard it. It reminded me of the prophet Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk, the Lord was moving in a way, and Habakkuk didn't understand it. And the Lord told Habakkuk, Lord, I'm going to do something, Habakkuk, and even though I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe it. And what he was saying is, Habakkuk, you have a certain mindset on the way that God should act. But I'm going to do something outside of your box. And we can fall into a trap of saying, this is the way God works. In this situation, God does this. I know it. I know it all. I've experienced it. God, this situation, God works this way. This situation, God works that way. At times, and Paul actually used this in the book of Acts, he told him, he said, look, God's going to do something and you're not going to believe it. And he actually did it in his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son. They were looking for another type of Messiah. But praise God, he had his way. We need to be fixed on what we believe in the Lord, but also we need to also be not so set in how we think that he always works this way. We can't limit God by binding him to saying, Lord, you have to work this way. Because I believe in these day and time, he's shaking He's calling us to really expand and be able to hear Him in various different circumstances, and not have that, not have a hearing weakness of already thinking we know. And we, as we go through these various things, would we, if the Lord touches our hearts, let's be honest about Him, because He already knows the condition, and He puts us in situations because He wants us to say, "Hey, you've got a hearing problem, and I want, because I love you, I want to be able to communicate with you clearly. I want to allow you, I want you and I to enter into this place of fellowship." So would we be that? Would it be that we allow the Lord to work? Lee, if we could have the next one. Would we allow the Lord to work? And there's a couple of psalms, there's a couple of scriptures rather, like in Psalm 40. He says, "I'm not interested in your offerings and your sacrifices." He said, "But thou hast dug out my ears," or "thou hast opened my ears." You know, praise God for that. The Lord, He comes in and we get wax build up. You get different concepts of any of these things that we've talked about in these seven letters. And He comes in and He digs it out. He opens our ears. He's the one. And would we ask the Lord to open our ears that we not have any obstructions from hearing Him? And then in Isaiah 50, I love how it says here, it speaks about He awakens my ear. We start in verse 4, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned," or instructed, or of a disciple. Different translations say different phrases. "That I should know how to speak a word in season to whom to him who is weary." Yeah, we know many that are weary. Would we be in a place to come alongside brothers and sisters and speak a word in season, a right word, not just a general word, a word in season? We've heard a word from the Lord and we could share it. We don't have our little pat answer words. "Oh, you're going through this, here's the word for that." Yeah, no. But we have word in season for a specific one who is weary. "And He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned," or as the instructed. "The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." I appreciate too in there how it talks about the morning by morning, every day. Just because He opened our ear one day, we wake up the next day, "Lord, open my ear." Morning by morning, every day. A daily relationship with Him. And this is what we would know, that we would know how to really speak words in season, have His living words, and that we could come under the government of the Holy Spirit, placing our ear under the government of the Holy Spirit, because it's only by that dividing of soul and spirit, that work of the cross and the Holy Spirit, that we'll be set free, that we'll be able to. Otherwise, we get deceived in our own mind, our own emotion, our own intellect and everything by the natural things. But as we allow the Holy Spirit, the cross, to work in us, there's that great dividing of whole, of soul and spirit. Let's go to the next one. Let's see. There's a quote by Lance. It's actually out of the book that the sisters are studying on Tuesday, relating to this day and time. It says, this whole matter, "The most important thing at the end of time is to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Only those who know the practical ministry and training of the Holy Spirit can hear what the Spirit says. Only the Holy Spirit can give us an ear to hear, can pierce our ear, enable us to hear. Only the Holy Spirit can give us the ability and power to obey whatsoever the cost." Brothers and sisters, this is, it's pretty straightforward of how we need that great work. In the day and times we're living in, we're being called upon to hear the Lord in abnormal circumstances. Called upon to hear the Lord in circumstances that are adverse. Called upon to hear the Lord in circumstances where we're even mocked and made fun of. But He's there, because the ones that hear the Lord in such a way as He trains our ears, we're the ones that are hastening His return. In closing, I'll share one last little story. About one who heard the Lord in adverse circumstances. Back in the Middle Ages, kings, the ones that protected the kings and always watched out for him. They were his closest allies, were his knights. And I'm not talking about Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. That's fictitious. But anyway, they were real kings and real knights, and they knew the king. They would protect him in the Middle Ages. And one time there was this king, and he was actually a very good king, and he liked to get to know the people, know what with the concern and care for all of his subjects. So he would change his clothes and go out and literally be among the people. He would all the time doing this. And people, back then, you didn't have Facebook or anything. You didn't know what the king looked like. Nobody knew what he looked like, except if you'd met him one time, you might. But the vast majority of people had no idea what the king looked like. He didn't use Instagram or anything. But he was, so one day he was out, and he stopped in one of the taverns. And the taverns were where people are eating and drinking, and there's all the merriment there that goes on. And on the other side of the tavern was one of his knights. Now, the king was dressed pretty much that day, almost like not as bad as a pauper, but he wasn't dressed in any fine attire. Wasn't made up, didn't all that stuff. So this knight was sitting on the other side of the tavern, and he had all of the people, the rabble-rousing, the noise and everything. And all of a sudden, this knight, who's on the other side, stood up, proud in his full armor. He stands up. He hollers out, "Hail to the king!" And everybody in the place, they'd laugh. They said, "Well, he's had too much to drink." You know, they're making fun of him and all of that. And they said, "What are you talking about? The king's not here. You're all drunk. You had too many pints of beer. So sit back down and shut up." He said, "Absolutely not. Hail to the king!" And they kept mocking him and all. And finally, he said, they pushed him, and he said no. So he started walking across the tavern. Of course, when he walked, everybody parted. You know, his attire and everything. He went right to the table where the king was. He knelt down before him, pulled out his sword, and said, "Hail to the king!" And he bowed before the king. The king stood up and said, "Blessed are you, my faithful servant." Are we recognizing the Lord's voice in the midst of the days we're living in? Amidst all the opposition, there's so many voices out there. In the midst of all of the hustle and bustle, in the midst of the profanity, in the midst of the lawlessness, are we still able to hear our voice? And are we able to stand for Him and declare that He is the King? He's the answer. That's what the Lord is after in this day and time, of people that have that hearing ear, not only just physically hearing, but having a hearing ear that understands and obeys and stands for Him in the day and the time that we're living in. May we allow the Lord to tune our ears to know His voice and to respond to Him in this day. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful how You are ever so patient with us. Lord, I believe any of us, if we went back and had to keep account of the number of times we didn't hear You right, we would all just be utter failures. But we're thankful for the blood of the Lamb. We're thankful for Your cleansing power. And we're thankful how You give us opportunities to learn of You. We learn so much from our failures. Lord, we want to be those that are offering ourselves afresh unto You, to pierce our ear, dig it out, awaken our ear, Lord, that we would know the voice of our Master. In the midst of all the chaos of this life, we could still know that voice that has loved us, that voice that cries out, "Come unto me." In Thy name, amen.